This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
You are listening to the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm delighted to say joining me in the studio is George Jones from the 9 Years podcast. Firstly, George, thank you for letting me substitute Matt Beadle tonight and cover on the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show. I'm very excited. I thought yesterday, saw the game, was checking out for the scores, was seeing all the tweets come through. I was going to be that good omen. You went 1-0 up. Wasn't to be, George. We have to start with the disappointing 3-1 loss to Bristol Rovers. What were your thoughts firstly on the game?
It's been the same every week we come on and it seems to be the same thing. You know,
wanted to break that cycle, George.
Yeah, I know. We were all hoping it would. But again, we took the lead. And again, so much of the pattern this year. We've played 10 league games this season. In 7 of them, we've taken the lead.
What is, George, I want to ask you there, and I know you've got many thoughts in the game, but I want to ask that because obviously I'd studied AFC Wimbledon, saw it yesterday, and I kept an eye on the results because I've always had a soft spot for them, want them to do well, especially that brilliant fight back last season. You know, everyone, it's almost infamous now, but what is it? Because, you know, when you do keep taking the lead and you just can't get over the line, you would hope that in the week that is worked on, you know, the manager's worked on that. If we take the lead, we've got to be rock solid. We've got to be airtight. We can't be letting sides come back, you know, because when it happens once or twice, you can forgive it, George. But when it happens every week, teams know that AFC Wimbledon, they're vulnerable here. If we get at them, if we stick with it, they're going to crumble because they know we can get an equaliser. We can go on to get the winner because every week it's almost like AFC Wimbledon, they're not just being beat, they're beating themselves almost, George. Is there an element to that?
Yeah, definitely that. I mean, every week we take the lead, it's been the pattern all season now. And other teams know it, and even we know it. You can see when we take the lead, everyone in the ground knows, the players know, all the fans know, this is when we're vulnerable, this is when we're likely to concede now. And the players know when we take the lead, we sit back and we try and soak up pressure, and we just can't deal with that. We're not a good enough side, we're a very young team. We don't have the experience to be able to sit back and hold on and contain an opposition side for an hour or so after we take the lead, and that's costing us so many points this year. So far this season, we've dropped 16 points from winning positions.
That's incredible.
In 10 games.
I mean, I know all football fans from any team, it's easy to look at stats. We get slightly carried away with stats at times. But even if you got half of those points, you held on to them, yeah, the league table would look ever so different now, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, this season we've gained the same number of points as Bolton have. Mm. And that in League One, that's appalling and embarrassing. But where we are, you know, if you add on those points, those 16 points that we've dropped, we'd be joint second.
Yeah.
That, for where we are, it's such a big, those points are so huge for us come the end of the season. Last year, we dropped 21 points from winning positions across the whole season.
And we're in September and you're 5 points off that total already.
Yeah, we've dropped 16 in 10 games so far this year.
Well, you just said it was appalling, it was embarrassing, your match with Bolton there. Do you agree with George? You can tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 70 20 558. And we have had a tweet into the studio already. This is from Dave A at Ratty75. George, he asks, can the performances get worse than this? And this is an honest question. I mean, we've got no reason to not believe him. But George, can they get worse?
Yeah, I think things can always get worse for us. I mean, we looked where we were sort of towards the end of Neil Ardley's reign. We're not quite that bad yet. We're bad.
Yeah, don't say yet. You don't want that demise to get worse, George.
No, it can. But yeah, that's the thing. This year we've got a younger team. They're hungry. They're putting energy. It's not 100% perfect, but there's energy there. There's a bit of passion there. Not much, but there's more than there was this time last year. So as far as I'm concerned, things are slightly better than they were this time last year. But this year we don't necessarily have someone like Aaron Ramsdale who can come in January to keep us up. So
Aaron Ramsdale.
So it's always going to be one of those things for us.
There goes the alert for the new Love Sport listeners and AFC Wimbledon fans. There is an alert for every time Aaron Ramsdale is mentioned. We are 6 minutes. Well, do you know what, George? We're not even 5 minutes into the show. And there was our first alert. But please, carry on.
It's going to be one of those things for us. Like I said, he came in January. He kept us up this year. Realistically, last year we had a Premier League keeper for half of the season. We're not going to have that this year. And I think even without Ramsdale, Wally wouldn't have kept us up. So realistically, this year, I think unless something quite drastically changes, I can't see us putting up much more of a fight.
One of the things you mentioned there, George, is that you are a very young side. That's clear for everyone to see. A lot of youth being given a chance. And sometimes you need those older heads, those wiser heads, you know, veterans. But they've been in there. They've done it week in, week out. They know the league inside out. And you just need them sometimes to keep the young ones at bay, that winning mentality, win a free kick, you know, a little bit of gamesmanship just to see the game out. Surely we know this from a fan's point looking outside. Why wasn't these players signed? Why aren't there a few older heads in this team at the minute?
That's the thing. I know everyone's sick about hearing about it, but our budget this year has been cut quite drastically from where we were towards the end of last season especially. And you look at it and, you know, we had players like, even though they weren't playing a huge amount last towards the end of last season, we had Andy Bartram, Tom Soares, James Hansen. Even though they weren't necessarily playing every week for us, just having them around the training camp, you know, keeping the young players up, keeping them going, you know, lacking those leaders, not just on the pitch on a Saturday, but around the training ground during the week. I think that's costing us, because I think our captain, Will Nightingale, on yesterday, he played his 100th senior game. And for our captain to only have 100 senior games, I think that tells you just how young and inexperienced we are.
That's, well, I don't know. That's quite an interesting statement. I mean, 100 senior games is still quite a lot. I mean, and also, you know, they say if you're good enough, you're old enough, if you're ready to lead, you can lead, whether you've played one game or 500 games. But I understand where you're coming from. Obviously, another big talking point yesterday was the red card, because at the time of the red card, you know, it was still... it was still level, and obviously that changed it. They get the two goals very quickly afterwards. In your opinion, how much did that red card change things, George?
I think we would have lost the game even without it, but it didn't help our cause at all, because we'd just changed shape. We'd just gone into the 4-3-3, which is a shape we'd looked much better in this year than we have necessarily playing the 5-3-2. So losing that, it just meant we lost sort of the attacking impetus, and from then on, it was about trying to save a point rather than going on and trying to get all three.
Well, it's interesting there that you're saying the mentality was changed. We were trying to save the point rather than going all three. Here's what the manager had to say about the red card in yesterday's performance.
Well, it's not a tackle for the second bookable. It's just like a body clash. He gets out and he tries to get to the ball. The fella's cute. There's contact and he goes down. It's a foul. The referee decides to book him. But it's on top of the referee booking him for celebrating in the crowd. Now, I thought he had to leave the playing area. I don't think he's done that. He's on the playing area and he's hugged the fan. I've gone in and pulled the ref, and he said if a player makes any contact with a fan, it's a booking and it's a directive and he has to do it. And he was backed up by his number two. So, you know, in his eyes, he's done nothing wrong. I've got a player in there who scored like his first home goal for the first one.
Wally Dan's there talking after the game. Obviously, you can hear it in his voice, very disappointed at defeat. Also, he mentioned there the booking for over the top, I think it, what is it, celebrating?
Excessive celebration. Yeah,
excessive, thank
wording.
You, George. This is why me and you are a dream team, mate. Yeah, excessive celebrating. A booking, we understand, but because there's contact, you know, the refs, they have to abide by the letter of the law. He gets the yellow. What Wally Dan's was disappointed with was, obviously... Bristol Rovers, they celebrated their goal, quite heavy celebrating, no booking, double standards there by the ref, George, for
you?
Yeah,
I think it is. In all of the games this year, we've come on, questioned the referee and said it's been poor, it's cost us points here and there. This is one that I don't think changed the game, there, booking for their celebration. But the fact that he sent, well, gave one of our players a booking for it and then sent him off for a second yellow, surely he has to show their player a yellow card for the exact same offence. Also, Marcus Force, his second yellow, I'm not sure it was. It was one of those where you'd argue with it. If he wasn't on a yellow card, it's probably a yellow, but I'm not sure it's worth a second yellow card for it. It was a shoulder barge. It wasn't really a challenge. It was sort of shoulder to shoulder. I don't think you can send a player off for a second bookable offence on that.
Well, there you have it, Joel. Strong words, but you're going to back your side. What about Wagstaff? Because he had a chance there, really could have scored it. It was a huge chance. The game was tied at 1-1. You know, again, another football cliche, but he scores that. It's a different game, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think, again, that's something else that's been the regular occurrence. Every game where we've taken the lead, we've had an opportunity to go two up, or, you know, even more than one opportunity in some of those games to potentially even go three goals up. And we keep missing those chances. We seem to be a side that's limited to scoring one per game. And you always feel we're going to concede at least two or three like we did yesterday. So only conceding one, so only scoring one, we really need to start converting these chances to even have a chance of getting anything more than a point.
Well, a big story, obviously, last year was the AFC Wimbledon saving off relegation. Wally Dan's, the brilliant job he done towards the end of the season. And in that press conference, we didn't hear it there, but he did say, you know, difficult times, you'll always have them in a football club. But AFC Wimbledon are used to difficult times. We've come through, it's making us stronger. It's going to prepare us for this year. Almost saying there that it could be a long long, hard season. You know, football is always a long, hard season, depending on if you get that luck along the way. It has shades of last year. It was off to a slow start then. Could you see a case where what happened last year, you're almost going down the same road now, George?
Yeah, we are. It's definite similarities to where we were last year. We had probably a slightly better start last year than we did this year. We changed managers in November, and we got really lucky in the recruitment in January, with obviously Ramsdale coming in and Steve Seddon coming in. You know, these are players who came in and changed us. That's a championship quality left back, a Premier League quality goalkeeper. You know, those players changed our market changed our whole season. And, you know, I can't see us having that this year. So I worry when we're going to have that turnaround.
Well, it is interesting because we have had another tweet into the studio from Zach Thompson, and it's what we're talking about. Zach says, realistically, how many winless games before losing Wally is definitely gone? A lot of people are throwing the phrase around, but surely it's too early to see him go.
I don't know. It's 10 games already this year without a win. If you stretch that back to last year, it's now one win in 18. You know, and that's form that is definite. That's definite bottom of the table form. And realistically, I'm not sure how long we can go on for with him. But also, I don't think we can sack him. I'm not sure we can afford to pay him off. And if we are going to pay him off, who would come in?
Well, this is always it, because for fans, the grass isn't greener, is it, George? You know, no. It's very easy to say, let's get rid of a manager. Who'd you get in? But ultimately, you have to know your level and expectation. You know, what was the expectation this year? You know, is Wally doing a good job to that? Are the players still performing for him? Like you said, they've had a lot of points. You know, they've been a little bit unlucky. But I suppose also, the flip side of that narrative is, it's Wally's job to make sure those points that you do have in winning positions are held on to. But there has to be a balance there.
Yeah, there does. But I think realistically, where we are, the budget we've got, the players we've got, there's not going to be a big increase in the budget in January. You know, our staff is pretty much at capacity. You know, we can't afford to be paying all them off. So realistically, you're looking at a manager to come in, be a low wage in comparison to other League One managers, and not be able to spend any money in the squad or bring in his own members of staff. Realistically, I think if Wally was to leave, which I'm not sure that time is yet, but, you know, if we keep sort of not winning games, that time will have to come at some stage. Realistically, I think you're going to have to look at an internal hire.
Well, when does that stage come for you, George? Is Wally still the man to lead this team?
Well, I think obviously Neil got until November in the FA Cup game last season. Realistically, I think you can give Wally probably another couple of games, maybe another month before we have to start. But we are unlucky, so he'll have to see. He'll have to be keep adjusting and keep it, you know, realistic expectations. But I think he's probably got another month.
Another month. Strong words from Jules Jones there from the 9 Years podcast. We were talking about that disappointing defeat to Bristol Rovers, 3-1 on the weekend. Next, though, we have to look at the game from midweek, which was Coventry, and it was just a disappointing tale. We're going to be talking all about that next.
For the fans, by the fans, Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with George Jones from the 9 Years podcast. We are talking everything where AFC Wimbledon is concerned. And George, you may not be in the seat for much longer, because 9 Years podcast, they have tweeted and they said, George, you are sacked 6 times out of 10 in the league, not 7.
Yeah, I've got the stat wrong. I must apologise. We've only dropped the league... drop the lead.
George, don't be doing this show giving me stats and I'm going to prepare these to my friends and I'm going to look silly. You're meant to be the guru, the AFC Wimbledon knowledge, and you're meant to be stringing me along.
To be fair, I included a stat from a cup game.
Listen, I'll let you off. We're all good here, George. You know, we're talking about the team. It has been a long weekend. It's been a long week, because we were talking about that defeat to Bristol Rovers. We have to look at the Coventry game. Slight parallels in this game. Last minute goals, George, shooting yourselves in the foot. What is happening here? We have to talk about as well Nathan Trott, because mistakes in the week, in the weekend, also on the game from the weekend, you know, I don't know what happened there. The ball bounced. He said there was contact. Wally said he likes to believe in there was contact. Even if the contact was minimal, contact is contact. But I'm not sure there, George. What do you make of that?
Nah, the goal he conceded on Saturday, cross came in, headed straight at him. He tried to gather it above his head, went straight through his hands behind him. He tried to jump on the ball and stop it going over line. I think there was probably a bit of contact in there. But as far as I'm concerned, as a goalie, if you drop it over your own head and it's going in, you can't really expect any favours from a referee. And, you know, again, like you said, he made a mistake on Tuesday. You know, the goal wasn't entirely down to him, because there was other players at fault. For me, I had Luke O'Neill down for at fault for their first goal. However, Nathan Trott came out and tried to tackle with his feet within his own penalty area. And as a goalie, again, I don't get that. Mm. You've got the ability to use your hands when you're that close to him. Why not go down, make yourself big, try and get it down and block a shot coming in rather than letting him take it around you?
That was, you're talking about the Coventry game in the week. Yeah, again, Nathan Trott, I mean, I don't like to come on the show and single out players and, you know, point at them. This is a team sport, this is a team game, you win and lose as a collective. But he's making errors there. You talked about, and you presented that stat earlier in the show, points from winning positions and points dropped. The keeper's not helped you in both those situations where the story could have been ever so different, couldn't it?
I know, and I think realistically the problem is we've had come off with such a great goalie towards the end of last year. You know, we've come in with him, he missed the first month of the season due to an injury. He's missed a game due to an international call-up. So I think he's probably only played 5 or 6 games this season for us. And for that, you know, he's still warming up. It's his first season of men's football, it's his first loan deal. So you'd expect him to grow into it, but these are fundamental errors. You look at his stats, he's averaging 3.8 saves per game at the moment in the league. And that's 4th in League One, so he's clearly doing something right. However, you know, you can always balance it off because he's got one of the worst pass success ratios. So Nathan Trott is someone who is clearly going to grow into it. But that's 2 goals in 2 games that he's cost us, in my opinion. And that is something that, you know, we can't afford to be doing in this league, especially where we are.
Well, let's talk about that Coventry game, because when they did score, when they did get back into it, there was an element for me, and you've probably maybe covered this on shows, or maybe I'm completely way off, but where we spoke about it was being a young side, the lack of leadership, the lack of, they switched off. There wasn't anyone when Coventry got that goal, you know, saying, come on, G-ing everyone up. There's still time in this. You know, we're not currently losing. We can get a point here. We're away from home. You know, they've had a decent start to the season. Where was the fight there, George? Am I way off there, or is there fairness in that?
That's fair. I mean, I think we've got a very young team. Like we said, it's definitely lacking leaders. I mean, we've got Will Nightingale, who's our captain. Like I said, he's played his 100th senior game on Saturday. So he's not necessarily got the experience, but he is our captain and probably is the biggest leader in the side. But we are missing something, and it is that experienced player who can just, you know, G everyone up, you know, try and protect it. But like I said, it's 6 times out of 10 in the league that we've dropped winning positions. So even going into that Coventry game, the second it went to 1-1, it was inevitable. We knew they'd win. And it wasn't until the 90th minute that we just thought, maybe we've just got away with this. But for them to score another poor goal so late.
Do you think the players know that? Sorry, interrupting you there, George. But do you think the players know about the mentality as well? Because you're speaking, obviously, from a fan's perspective. This is the FC Wimbledon fan show. You're saying we knew that the game was lost. They were going to go on and get another. Do you think that's the players' mentality as well? Or if it isn't their mentality, that sort of sweeps into them from the fans. They know the fans expect them to go on and lose it. And if that is their mentality, this is clearly one of the factors that's going wrong this year. How do they change that, George? Because this is all a mentality thing. We know how important in any sport is the mental aspect of it all.
Yeah, no, it's something that is, you know, the fans know it. I think the players do know it, because you look, the second it went to 1-1 on Tuesday, the second it went to 1-1 yesterday, the players' heads just dropped straight away. There wasn't that belief of, OK, let's go again, let's retake the lead, or let's hang on. Straight away it was, OK, we've lost this now. You know, what are we going to do?
But that's not the way to win back a battle, though, George.
No, it's not. And it's something that needs to happen. But I think the only way it can happen is if we hold on to a lead. Is if we get a 1-0 and drag on and get a 1-0 win. Or if we get a second and can close out a 1-0 or a 2-1. You know, that's the only way this is going to change. Because I think unless the players get that positive experience of holding on to a lead, we're just going to get into the same problem, and it will be the same thing week after week.
Well, we've had another tweet into the studio from Mark Hendricks. He says, if George keeps mentioning budget, then I need to tell him to show me the money. George, he's not happy that you keep mentioning that budget and the AFC Wimbledon and the restraints that they may be under, George.
No, I tried to avoid talking about it this week.
Well, you haven't.
It's unavoidable, really. When you look at it, you look at our team, and you look at it and you think, if we had the same budget as last year, when we had Ramsdale, when we had Seddon, when we had Hansen, I can't see us being where we are in the league now. Because had we had that money, we would have kept Hansen. We might have been able to get Seddon back. And if you add in those 2 or 3 players who were key to us, who we had to let go at the end of last season for budgetary reasons, or players we weren't able to get in, I think that's probably why we are where we are in the league, especially when you look at the average age and lacking leaders.
Well, you're lacking leaders. A lot on social media that Wally Danz is maybe lacking excuses or making them up, because yesterday he blamed the red card. You know, we're talking about youth. Is he running out of excuses? Is he running out of ideas? That's a little bit what's being made on social media from when I researched it earlier. What is the general consensus among the fans at the minute, George?
The thing is, I think Wally doesn't really come up with many excuses. He says youth, but we can all see that that's not really an excuse because we all know that's what it is, and that's how we knew it would have to be this year because of, I know, sorry, Mark, but because of the budget. But it's one of those things that we
show me the money.
It's one of those things we're going to have to deal with this year. You know, we expected it, and I think our fans this year were expecting another relegation fight. But it's the lack of fight, the fact that we're seeing the same patterns week after week of scoring first, then conceding one or two goals. And failing to hold on and not coming back towards the end. This year, I mean, there was a stat we had on last week's show where it's probably changed this week, but this time last
week... Make sure if it's a stat you're getting it right, yeah, because at the minute you're not doing well with that.
No, it was definitely... This time last week, it was factually correct. But if all of the games in the league ended at half-time, we would have been second. And that just shows we're not putting in 90-minute performances.
I've just had a tweet saying we would have actually been third. No, I'm joking. You would have been second.
But that's the thing. It's one of those things now where the patterns of play are obvious. What's going wrong is obvious. But Wally can't change it for whatever reason. I think mainly down to recruitment. And the fact that we didn't do as well as we were hoping to in the summer because we didn't have as much money to spend or whatever. But also the fact of problems of our own making. Like Dylan Connolly has gone out on loan. Had a very good game by all accounts for Bradford yesterday. Having those players out on loan means that we can't change shape. We don't have the squad depth or the flexibility of players to come in and be able to go and play in a 4-4-2 or a 4-3-3 because we don't have that depth. All of the players we've got now and all the squad depth we still have at the club is based around a 5-3-2.
Well, you mentioned recruitment there, but whose job is that? Who's at sole responsibility? Because if Wally's coaching the team, is he in charge of getting the players in? Who's at fault for the recruitment? Because this is normally a team of people. No. We can't just finger point at one person, can we, George?
Wally Downs appointed Nick Dawes towards the end of last season as our head of recruitment.
You got passionate when you said it there. Like, he's a man that I'm going to blame.
Yeah, but I think Nick Dawes came in. Wally Downs all summer was saying, you know, we've got this database of over 1,000 players and all of this. Everyone got really excited thinking we'd find a couple of gems. And this summer we signed Nesty Guinness-Walker, who's done brilliantly on coming in from the Met Police, who play in the Ryman League. We signed Adam Rosgrove from the Welsh Premier League. But realistically, apart from them, all the other players we've signed are sort of League 2, League 1 sort of players around that level where we all knew about them anyway. So that database has really not been used a huge amount. I think recruitment probably hasn't been perfect. I think we've wasted money in certain areas when we didn't need to. But it's more about players we had who we've let go. I think that's what's costing us.
Well, what is costing you as well? Because, you know, it's easy to look at score lines and stats as we have. But is it the fact that AFC Wimbledon aren't scoring enough goals or not? Or the defence, you know, when we're conceding when we shouldn't be, very late, 92nd, 93rd already this season from winning positions. Is that the cause for concern? Or is it that you're not getting enough goals to see games out? You know, like we said, Wagstaff with that chance. Where is it? Or ultimately, is it both, George, because you're smiling?
I think it is partially both. I mean, you look at it, we're not scoring enough goals. We're only getting one or so a game. And that's not going to win you that's not going to win you a game. But we are conceding two a game, three a game some weeks. And that's something which has to be worked on as well. But I think it's not just the striker's fault because Marcus Force is coming in and he looks levels above all of our other strikers.
We can tell that from very early on. Yeah, you know, you've only recently got him and he has made a difference. He's made an impact, hasn't he?
Yeah, no, it's so key. You know, everyone can see what he's been doing.
Apparently he was in tears, Wally Dan said yesterday. In tears, you know, he felt like he let the team down himself. He was to blame. Almost a hero to zero situation. Getting that goal, then getting sent off. You know, he took that defeat. He solely blamed it on himself. Wally Dan said he's got a kid crying in the dressing room. Is that fair to say? He shouldn't look at it like that, should he? He's being very harsh on himself there.
I think the thing is, you look at that and you say, if it was a one-off, yeah, he's being harsh on himself. But the same thing happened on Tuesday. He got a yellow card, he made a stupid challenge and was very, very lucky not to be sent off on Tuesday.
But when you play youth, that's what you're going to get, that naivety.
And that's the thing. But he was very lucky not to be sent off on Tuesday, and Wally subbed him straight away to make sure he wasn't sent off. You know, and that's a pattern that, again, is emerging and you can see it. But he's such a good player, we have to stick with him. But I think I saw someone sent me a stat, so I'm not taking any responsibility if this is wrong.
I don't like that. Yeah, but you're already creating your own scapegoat, and I don't like that either,
I'm definitely doing that. But apparently, Aaron Ramsdale has as many assists in the Premier League this season as all of our strikers do combined in the League One.
Aaron Ramsdale.
George, repeat, please. Ignore the alert. What was the stat?
Aaron Ramsdale has as many assists in the Premier League this year as all of our strikers combined do in League One.
That is a very worrying stat.
Yeah, it's that's a concern.
That is a problem. Well, hopefully not another cause for concern. We're going to be looking next at the Academy and Development Squad, an update from there and that loan watch. We were just talking about recruitment. They might not need the best of recruitment because there could be some gems coming through.
From Ali to Zaha, we've got it covered. Love Sport Radio.
It's devastating. I'm devastated for the boys because they really put a shift in. They executed what we asked them to do, the way we played. And, you know, I felt that we were worthy of getting something from the game. And, as I said, devastating not to for them.
You're listening to the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined in the studio with George Jones from the 9 Years podcast. You just heard from Wally Danz. They're talking about the games. We've been discussing it all in the studio, discussing the fallout from the games. When will they get that first win? Well, we have had another tweet into the studio, this time from Nick Draper, who is from the 9 Years podcast. He tweets, "I always knew we would spend the season in the bottom eight. Nil wins so far makes me think bottom four, but it is still early days." And he's mentioned Force and Wordsworth can win games for us.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. Force has been a real positive since he came in. He scored several goals in very few games for us so far since he joined on loan from Brentford. Anthony Wordsworth returned from injury and got half an hour yesterday, and those players are going to be key. If we want any chance of turning this form around, those two players are going to be the difference, and they're the ones who are our only hope, really, of turning the tide and keeping us up.
Well, we've had a WhatsApp into the studio. This is, as always, please tweet us. The more, the merrier. It's your team, your voice. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us on 0208 70 20 558. This one says, "Evening, lads. Throwing a name into the mix, Tommy Wood. Should we recall him from his loan spell at Leatherhead? He played amazing throughout pre-season, and then Wally has the audacity to send him out on loan. What have we got to lose by recalling him?" So it's a great WhatsApp there. Strong words, George. What do you make of that? And also, we're going to talk about loan watch, so why don't we start it here?
Yeah, Tommy Wood, someone who went out on loan towards the end of last season, scored loads of goals, came back, had a great pre-season for us. He's exactly what the first team are missing. He's a big number nine, a big target man. I think the reason he's gone out on loan is technically he's not the best player for us. He's several miles away even of being a technically good League One player. But he's one of those players who'll touch a ball three times in a game and he'll score two goals. He's done that in the reserves. He's done that at Burgess Hill where he was on loan last year. He's done that on loan at Leatherhead so far this year, even though they didn't play because we've got Tommy Wood and Finney McNabb both on loan at Leatherhead who didn't play this week because of FA Cup. Neither did the Met Police, so Ayub Asal missed out on getting any game time this week. But Tommy Wood is someone who could come in back sort of when his loan expires at the end of October and be a difference for us. And that's really what we need coming in. You know, a number nine who could maybe get a goal or two.
Well, this is it, because you need that development from these younger players. You're saying, you mentioned the budget. People don't want you to mention the budget. If these players are picking up game time, a couple of them have just missed that, they're impressing. They can come on, make that difference. But you also, the flip side of that narrative, George, is that you mentioned we're a young side. You don't want to get any younger, do you?
No, and that's the thing, though. But I think realistically, you've got to look at the players who could come in. Are they any worse than what we've got at the moment? And if they're not any worse, you may as well go with the younger one, because, you know, they're the player who will be better in 3 or 4 years' time.
Yeah, but can you wait that long? Can AFC Wimbledon wait? I know what you're saying, but that's not... Football's so short-term nowadays, no, George. You can't go, this player's going to be great in 3 or 4 years. Well, yeah. In 3 or 4 years, we don't know. Hopefully, we'll be further up, but we don't know where we will be.
But I think, you know, it's something we have to look at. Jack Rudoni, who's the player I really like, who did really well in pre-season, I'd like to see him come in and get minutes. He's on the loan at Tonbridge Angels, joined them this week, played for them on Saturday. You know, these are players who could come in out on loan. We've got other young players on loan at Basingstoke. You know, we've got young players now who are coming through and deserve opportunities to get minutes. And I think realistically this year, for me, it's getting towards the stage of this year where I'm going to write this season off as, you know, we're down and I don't think we can be
already
saved. Yeah, I think we're so far off the pace. Like I said,
George, that's very negative. You just said to me that, you know, 16 points you could have had from winning positions. You know, football, it can change in an instant. You know, you could go on a run at Christmas, you could go on a run next month. You know, it could all turn. You're telling me only on September the 22nd, you're willing to write this season off already.
I think we're getting to a stage where we have to, because I think realistically, unless something changes soon, like I said, so far this year, you ignore the stats about, you know, how many points we've dropped, where we'd be if we held on to those games. You look at where we are. So far this year, we've gained the same number of points as Bolton, who were playing their under-18s for the first month of the season. So realistically, I think you get to November, December, if we're still where we are and we're still sort of getting cut adrift, we could be 10 points off by then. So realistically, you look at them and why not play the young players, get a minute, see if they're ready for next year, build them for next year, because that's what we need to be looking towards. And you know,
are you already preparing for League Two then?
Realistically, yeah, because I think I can't see where we are now. I don't think we've got the money to buy our way out of trouble, which is what we did towards the end of last season. We got lucky with Ramsdale coming in and we bought our way out of trouble with Seddon. And I think realistically, we can't do that this year. So I can't see it turning around to the extent where we could finish above a couple of teams. Southend appear to have turned the tide. Tranmere won on Saturday. Bolton are always improving. You know, these are sides that I think, to be honest, might finish higher than us. And I can't see a way for us to get out of it so far this year.
Strong words from George. Do you agree? 0208 70 20 558 or tweet us at Lovesport Radio. Preparing for life in League Two. Seven, eight games in. I think it's actually slightly more. Ten games, sorry. Yeah, excuse me. Obviously, after the international break. 10 games in, and George is already saying that he's writing this season off. Quite incredible there. Let's look at the under-18s, though, because they've got a big match this week as well, haven't they?
Yeah, the 18s, last week, they had a big cup tie against Northampton in the Youth Alliance Cup match. And again, you know, difference. The under-18s showed what the first team had been lacking. They went 2-1 down. And they scored a last kick of the game equaliser. They showed fight after going down twice. And it was our goalie, Matt Cox, who scored a last kick of the game equaliser to take the game to penalties. And that's what we're missing, that fire, that energy. Matt Cox also saved two in the penalty shootout. You know, our under-18s have shown so much fight and so much passion this year. Again, you know, there's something that it gives us hope for this year. Because realistically, the first team have been a big disappointment this year. But the 18s are picking up. There's a glimmer of hope, not just for the sort of short-term future with players like Jack Rudoni and Tommy Wood, but for the long-term future, like Isaac Ugande got another assist and he's been on good form. He's a first-year under-18. He's doing well. And, you know, it's a good opportunity. On Tuesday night, we got a London Senior Cup game against the Met Police. And there'll be a couple of under-18s playing that, along with probably a couple of first-teamers in need of minutes. And it's a good opportunity for them to see where they are in their development, to try and get them playing against men and playing men's football, even when they are under-18. Because that's a big step in their development.
Well, we've had another tweet into the studio. Thank you so much for making this a hotly discussed show tonight. We really appreciate everyone getting involved. This next one comes from Jimmy Knight at James Knight 1987. He tweets saying, "Come on, George, we are not down yet. Plenty of others who are struggling. Those youth lads are out on loan for a reason. They're not good enough yet. They're getting minutes in the lower divisions. It is just great for their development." No. Come on, George, is the rallying cry.
I agree. If some players are...
No, you don't agree, George. You were saying you're giving it a free years. Don't go
I
back now.
I agree with some of what
we're
he was saying.
We're not having it at AFC Wimbledon.
With some of what he was saying, of young players, they do need minutes. They do need to be out on loan. But as far as I'm concerned, if they're good enough, I'd rather have a minute with us than out on loan somewhere else. Players like Jack Rudoni, I think, is good enough for the first team at the moment, especially when you look at, you know, we've got Max Sanders in on loan. He hasn't played as much. I think he's certainly not much better than Jack Rudoni, so I'd rather see Rudoni being involved a bit more than him. But I think maybe this year it's still, I misspoke earlier, it's slightly too early to write this season off.
What? Are you going back on yourself now?
No,
it's slightly too early.
It's getting close.
You just said you're writing it off. It's a free pass.
It is. It's getting to the stage where
We've scared you into remission.
Yes. It's getting to that stage where it has to be written off. We're not there yet, but it's getting close.
I've done it. I've broke Georgie. He's come back round. It's all going well from here on in. Well, we've had another message into the studio, and you can as well. 0208 70 20 558. Hi, guys. Great show. Thank you for that, even though I can't even read the start of that message. Wally is trying to play long ball football without a long ball striker. It doesn't work. I'm not against long ball football, but it doesn't work unless you have Tom Elliott up there. If Wally wanted to play this way, he should have gone in for a striker that fits that mould. James Hansen would have been a good shout. Look how many he has got for Grimsby already. Shout out to everyone at Nunnery Road for tuning in. George, what do you make of that message?
It's something that needs to be looked at, you know, because we did have Hansen last year. He is one of the main things that kept us off. Having a big number nine, the target man, and that's why this formation, the 5-3-2, was a success towards the end of last season. But we couldn't afford to keep him. And that's why
Start mentioning budgets again.
That's why I'm saying the budget is so important to help. But it's, you know, we should have got someone in. But I think you look at them, the number nine of the big old fashioned number nine target man It's a dying breed.
It's, you know? Can we talk about that? I know it's not AFC Wimbledon, but one minute, it's really a dying breed. The old, good old-fashioned target, man, that football's gone. Everyone wants tiki-taka now, play in the nice way, the fluid way, but sometimes you just can't beat it. When you barely need to hold on to a result or get a result, you need to hoof it long and let the big man hold it up, don't you?
I know, and that's what we're missing. We're missing that player. Tommy Wood's very old school in that way, and that's why I want to get him involved a bit more. But we know, realistically, when you're looking to have a young team, a young average age, there is very, very little you can do when you're trying to get in a young player who's that number nine. Because most 9 out of 10 times, that young striker is not going to be at number nine because they're not brought that way now.
But is there an argument for what Jimmy Knight tweeted us? He's saying, you're saying, give these kids a chance. You know, they're going to be good in 3-4 years. He's saying, yeah, but they're not good enough now. We need the players who are good enough now, because he certainly isn't writing off the season. Are these players good enough now? You want them to get games, give them a chance. But he's got a point. Are they good enough?
I think some of them are, some of them are a bit further away. But I think you look at them and you've got to look at what they can do. And realistically, that number, Tommy Wood, like I said, he's a long way away from being League One proper level. But he can score a couple of goals, and he's what we're missing stylistically, of being a target man who can hold the ball up and can bring other people into play. That's what we're missing. So even though he's not as technically good as someone like a Piggott or a Falivi, he's offering something different. And I think it's worth trying, because we're losing or drawing every week at the moment, so we can't be any worse than we are now. So why not give them a try for a couple of games?
Well, delighted to say we've had a call into the studio. Toby, I believe, and his 9-year-old son, they are calling from Cheltenham. Toby, thank you so much for calling into the studio tonight. What do you want to ask George?
Oh, yeah. I don't really have solutions for where do we go, and it feels very similar to last year, obviously. But at least we are scoring goals, but before that, we didn't really even take the lead very much. But I just felt a bit unfair on getting on Nathan Trott's back. We went to the game on Tuesday, and I didn't blame him at all for that goal. I played in goal to a semi-pro level, and I thought, yeah, he did lead with his feet, but the hair always goes with his feet. He took him out wide. I thought he'd done a great job for that first goal. And somehow that bloke scored from the angle with both of our players back on the line. They should have made that clearance. It was one-on-one. Likewise, he saved a one-on-one earlier. I thought he made a great save in the box where he held on to it. Most goalkeepers would have just got their arm to it and there'd been a rebound. I thought he saved us 2 goals on Tuesday. And I don't know what happened for the goal. My brother seemed to get older. He couldn't really tell whether that was a foul or not, obviously, at the weekend. But otherwise, I think he's fine. He's much, nothing like Tom King or some of the other dodgy keepers we've had. I think we should be giving him a chance. And I know we're always looking for, when things are going wrong, looking for problems. But it's just, I think the problems are in the midfield. One of our fullbacks can't cross, the other one can't defend. I think, we've just been cut open on Tuesday with good attacking football. It wasn't really Trott's fault, I don't think.
Toby, completely respect your opinion. You're so right when you say, when you do have a loss, it's very easy to point that finger. Sometimes you have to take a look at yourself. It is a team game. What could have prevented that from happening in the first place? But ultimately, you can have an off day. These are professionals. They can make mistakes. What about that mistake on the weekend? I'm sure Nathan Trott's a very dependable goalkeeper, and he's certainly saved Wimbledon a few times. But that one on Saturday, that was a poor one, wasn't it?
It looks like a mistake. Obviously, he claims he was fouled, but I just don't think he's made other. I don't think he's been making lots of mistakes this season. And Rambo made the odd mistake. He was absolutely sensational. We absolutely loved him. But I just think if people feel there's 2 mistakes in 2 games, I can understand. But for me,
yeah, and that's all that it has been, Toby. It has been,
and it's one. Yeah. It's one mistake in a whole in 10,
Yeah.
Or 6. I know he missed a few games, but yeah.
No, I don't think no one said it's been Nathan Trott mistake. He's to blame or the scapegoat for the season. We've just been judging those 2 games in a whole, and he has made those 2 mistakes, which ultimately.
The first one wasn't a mistake. That's what I'm saying. He had a good game on Tuesday night. How you can't be expected to save every 1-on-1. He took him out wide. The guy got to a very wide angle. And managed to roll it past 2 of our haphazard defenders on the line, who somehow let it go in. I don't think that's the keeper's mistake.
But the thing is, with that goal on Tuesday night, he went in, but he didn't make himself big. I think had he gone out, made himself bigger, gone to ground, he could have tried to force him to the byline. I know he forced him wide, but still,
he
I don't like...
pretty wide for a one-on-one. I mean, I think if you get that angle, when he did it, I was like, he's not going to... I was like, brilliant. he's got him, you know, in my mind, he's got him out wide. He's done a great job there. But the guy shouldn't have scored. We had two players back, you know, that somehow he rolled it in behind them. I mean, you know, you can't expect him to save every one-on-one. Different geese will do different things with one-on-ones. As I say, De Gea often saves loads of stuff with his feet.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I don't mind the fact that he went in with his feet. It was the fact that he stayed up. Had he gone to ground or made himself, tried to make himself big and spread himself out. But he went in with his feet, but his legs were still close together. He didn't make himself big enough, in my opinion.
Well, I think when you make yourself big, you're stopping the shot. He managed to stop the guy from having the shot. He sent him out really wide. And that was, you know, when you're that wide as a striker, you don't normally expect to score. But and he made two fantastic saves. The one-on-one before that he saved, and he also that one with a crowded penalty box stretched down to his right. I think most keepers would have parried that, and he managed to hold on to it.
I agree.
And also, the last goal was because of Piggott, because he didn't.
Yeah,
back.
And that was all Joe Piggott. I mean, that was a disgrace. The guy had been on for 15 minutes. Our second goal at Coventry, he got caught offside, and he couldn't be bothered to track back. Any other player would have blocked the free kick or any of that. The whole of that side of the pitch was totally open.
He was just being lazy.
Piggott could not be bothered to move back and stop that free kick, and he let the whole team down.
He was just being lazy like a pig.
I can never argue with your son, Toby. Who am I to argue with a 9-year-old fan? I know what it's like, you know, especially if he's saying that that's the case. You're very right, though. You know, with that, like I said earlier, you never know. Preventing the shots or the situation before it even gets to Nathan Trott, I can certainly say that no one in the studio has blamed Nathan Trott for the start to the season. We were talking about those individual mistakes, and unfortunately goalkeeping is a position more than most where when they do make a mistake, it's highlighted more than any other player that when they lose a foul or lose the ball on the pitch, that is a shame. But we really appreciate you, Toby, for calling in to us. Always good to hear from the AFC Wimbledon fans and the different views you have. And you can 0208 70 2558. Next time, I'm delighted to say we'll be talking to Jared Farmer all about the Peterborough game on the weekend.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio.
You are listening to the AFC Wimbledon Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm joined with George Jones from the 9 Years podcast. It is time, in what has been a packed show, my first AFC Wimbledon show. I hope I've been an adequate enough replacement for Matt Beadle tonight on the 9 Years podcast here on Love Sport Radio. But we just had a caller there. George, you wasn't, and both of us, in fairness, you know, not to defend us, but I don't think no one was blaming Nathan Trott. Goalkeeping, very, very difficult position. No one's blaming him for the start to the season. But when individual mistakes are made, we have to highlight them, you know, they happened.
But that's the thing, Trott hasn't cost us. He's done well in the couple of games he's played. Like I said, he's missed the first month of the season through injury. He missed a game due to an international call-up, and he did it where he wasn't involved in either of England under-21's games. And also, I did say that his save percentage, you know, he's someone who across this season in the games he's played, he's made 3.8 saves per game, which is fourth in League One. So it'd be very harsh to blame him for our whole season. But if you look at our two games over the last week, in my opinion, he cost us a goal on Tuesday, which, fair enough, that one's subjective. But I don't think you can argue the one on Saturday wasn't his fault, because if there was a foul, it was after he'd already dropped the ball, you know?
Yeah, very difficult there. You know, fans always have a different point of view, especially someone that played semi-pro goalkeeping. Such a tough, tough position. Talking of Matt Beadle there, he does a Goalkeepers Union podcast. He said it's the hardest position to evaluate because goalkeeping, you know, there's so many other certain factors that go into it. Let's look at that Peterborough game now. It is a massive game. Not a massive game for you, George, because you're writing this season off. You said it's a free hit. You're already planning for League Two. So I'm sure where you're concerned, you're not fussed about this one.
But Peterborough's always a tough game. We don't have a brilliant record there. You look at the players they've got this year, you know, they've got Ivan Toney, who's scoring for fun for them. They've got Marcus Madison, who always seems to score against us because of, you know, a couple of past incidents between our fans and him. You know, don't have a great relationship with him, and as a result, he always seems to score. They had a disappointing result on Saturday against Doncaster. But Peterborough's a game which is going to be really tough for us. And this is one where, for me, I'm not focused on the result for next week. We want a performance. We want energy. We want passion. And we want to put up a fight. Because realistically, that's going into Peterborough away. That's what we want to see. Because realistically, I don't expect us to get anything from there.
I'm sure, obviously, you are just after that, George. The performance, the desire, the commitment, the fight. You know, players invested in the game plan, trying to G each other up, as we spoke about earlier. Obviously, you want a result on top of that. But will it be a case of... Now, I'm not saying... Because all, I think all football fans are greedy. We always want more. When we get what we were after, then something else happens. But what if you do that next week? You put up the fight. You put up the energy. And then you don't get the result. You know, you're going to sit here next week and be like, oh, you know, we've done all that and we still can't get a result. Or you're going to be like, this is enough. Because we always want more, yeah. Don't we?
No, but that's the thing. I think it's... From where we are now, I think we're pretty much rock bottom in terms of performances and results. So as far as I'm concerned, if we can put in a performance, if we can put in an energetic, passionate performance for 90 minutes, that's something that you can build on. You go from that, then you go and get the win or the draw and get a couple of scrappy results and you build on it. For me, it's that first step on the ladder of trying to regroup and rebuild from what's been an appalling first 10 games.
Well, it's a very good point. They lost yesterday, didn't they? 2-0 to Doncaster. So maybe their loss of confidence could be a great time to even get more than just a performance. Get some points on the ball, George.
Yeah, it is. But you look at Peterborough, the players they've got, you know, like I said, Marcus Madison, Ivan Toney. These are players who are really levels above League One football. I think they're probably slightly out of position in terms of ninth. I, for one, at the start of the season, had them in the playoffs or in and around the automatic promotion places. So for me, I'm looking at this and thinking, realistically, I just want a performance because I know they'll be on a low. But Peterborough are one of these sides that normally bounce back. They'll be looking to put three or four past us. So for me, I want a performance. I want us to make it a close game. I don't want them to be comfortable. If we can go in and do that, I think it's not been the worst day in the world for us.
Well, to do that and... execute that game plan, you do need leaders, you do need a veteran head, you know, a wiser head, someone that we're still looking for AFC Wimbledon. But what is your score prediction, George, for the weekend? I have to put you on the spot.
Realistically, I want to see us, like I said, I think we can get a passionate performance in. I think it will be a similar pattern to what's happened in the last couple of games, but I think it'll be a sort of a slight improvement in performance. But I can see us losing 2-1.
But if it's a slight improvement in performance, let's not forget, you've been winning in games. You've taken a lead. A slight improvement would be holding on to that lead, maybe not to to the losing position, but holding on even for a draw, if not holding on for the win. That would be a slight improvement wouldn't it?
That'd be a big improvement. But I think, realistically, you look at the games, and if it was a game like Rochdale, who we got in a couple of weeks, or Southend, then you would be looking for that. But Peterborough, I think that's probably a step too far in terms of the first step of trying to rebuild and regroup.
So you're already looking a little bit further in advance, to Peterborough.
Yeah, I think realistically we've got to look at the game after that. We've got Southend, we've got Rochdale coming up in the next few games after Peterborough. Peterborough's the toughest game in the next month or so. So realistically it's about getting through this and just put a performance in that we can build on for those games where we can start and have a bit of momentum and try and win those essentially six pointers, even though we're still in September.
Well, it has been a strong debate tonight. We were talking about yesterday's defeat to Bristol Rovers, the Coventry review. We've talked a little bit about Peterborough. We've had many a text, many a WhatsApp calls into the studio. We really thank you for getting involved. They've really sparked good debate tonight. George, thank you to you for allowing me to sit in with you on the AFC Wimbledon fan show from the Nine News podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure of mine. I wish Wimbledon get that result, and hopefully I will get to speak to you soon. This has been the AFC Wimbledon fan show. We will see you next week at 8.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.